7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome to this edition of Skip the Tutorial, number one video game podcast on Skull Island. I'm one of your hosts this week, Bryant King Kong Daniels. And joining me across the universe on Skype is none other than Toddzilla Fortner. What's going on, man?
It's the double tie. What I do? What? Where are we from again, cuz?
Skull Island.
Skull. Woo! You said that shit was some fierce, like Slayer.
That is by far, and this will tie into the topic this week. King Kong Skull Island, or Kong Skull Island, it is called. I think is one of the most underrated movies of the last few years. I really enjoyed that movie.
Don't pretend like before we started recording, you weren't like, King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Also, Training Day. I love that movie, but it's not underrated. It's highly rated. People love Training Day because it's a great movie. Denzel Washington as a bad guy was really awesome in that movie. You remember that whole part where he's like, man, get wet. Get wet. And he keeps handing the pipe to Ethan Hawke's character. I was like, oh, this just got real right here. I don't know how to feel about this. That was a good movie, though, man. Makes me want to watch Training Day again.
That shit was funny. It was just like, I didn't know you like to get wet.
Yeah. What? Yeah, man.
It's the sun.
Then they bust into that drug dealer's house and steal all his stuff. And I was like, y'all is dirty. Y'all is so dirty.
That was absolutely a great role, but it is still kind of a bit of a tragedy that's the role that he got. I think, what is it, the Academy Award?
Yeah, he got the Academy Award for that one.
That's a beautiful thing, but it's just like, damn, that's the role. Yeah, but it was great. That's a great movie, man. That's a classico.
It really is. I think everybody forgets Ethan Hawke's in that movie because Denzel's such a powerful like force in that movie. He's just a powerful actor, though. Like, I don't care what he's in. He could be in a Hallmark TV movie, and I'll still watch that movie.
He was definitely underrated, man. Nah, Ethan Hawke did a great job in that
team. Oh, I agree.
The way he played off of Denzel, that was great. That was a great performance as well, in my opinion. That whole movie. The worst acting probably was Ice Cube, but you know, he's Ice Cube.
Yeah, I love.
But
Ice
anyway,
Cube. Anyway, yeah. We're not here to talk about movies or Training Day.
Well, we talk about whatever the fuck we like.
Yes, we do. But before that. Welcome to the show. Before that, we do want to say this week's show. I don't know what a wheat show is. This week's show is brought to you by LOU CBD Oil. LOU CBD Oil. You can find them at loucbd.com. We're actually going to have a link in our show notes. But here's the deal.
Links.
Yes, we got links. I'm going to put lots of links in there. I'm going to use the Skyward Sword link. I'm going to use the Wind Waker link. I'm going to use the Ocarina of Time link.
Smash Bros. Ultimate link. And shout out to the tribe for showing love on understanding when we get on here and talk that shit. Because just last week's episode, I was so pissed off I couldn't get Ryu. And motherfuckers was just like, say, bro, this is how you go back to anybody that you don't have to like wait for them to randomly do their thing. Just go to the classic games, go to the gate, and lo and behold, I unlocked like 20 motherfuckers. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It was beautiful. So that's what I'm talking about, man. That's what this whole thing is about. I haven't said it in a while, but I'll continue to say it. It's that grand experiment of different folks coming together around a common goal and enjoying that thing. Just like the next motherfucker, man, in the universe. You know what I'm saying? So once again, my brother, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely.
You doing good? Okay. You doing all right? How we doing? Am I tripping?
No, we're doing good, man. We're doing good. We got that LOU CBD oil for you fellas, for everybody. You fellas and ladies out there. You actually can get 15% off if you go and use the affiliate code STTPOD at checkout. 15% off at STTPOD. As far as the way this stuff is made, man, this stuff is awesome. We really like these guys. It's manufactured in the United States of America. We're here in America. America.
America.
America. It's organically grown hemp. It's THC free. It's non-GMO. It's got a... It's... phytocannabinoid rich hemp oil. It's free of pesticides and it's free of heavy metals. That's my only disappointment, Todd. I like Slayer with my CBD oil. I don't know about you.
Ever since you told me that joke, though, I can only go so far with that. I can only go so far. But nah, man, that CBD oil shit, like, that, I fucks with these folk. You know, we was talking about it before we recorded. You know what I'm saying? And to go back to last week's episode, that's probably the best kind of explanation of the underlining linkage up with these folks. But it's solid, man. It's a clean product. I can speak from experience, you know what I mean? It's not just your average, it's of high quality, you know, you know. So and if you got the right mind, if it's not a drug, it's not there to get you high once again, though. It's there to try to, you know, supplement, if you will, healthy options, if at all possible, to try to work. So absolutely ecstatic about this partnership with these people and shit. I need to fuck with them my goddamn self. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man. Underrated, bro.
Yeah, man. Underrated. That's what we're here to talk about this week. But first of all, if this is your first time joining us, we're a show about video games. We talk about video games. Sometimes we talk about what we've been playing, the news, and break down a roundtable. And sometimes we break down a top seven. This week is a top seven. As you said so, Todd, top seven underrated video games this week. What does underrated mean to you? That's my question. What does underrated mean to you?
That's it could be critically underrated or even by the mass public underrated. It just depends. And these, once again, as all of our little lists, our little fun commentary list or whatever, you know, these are just our opinions. You know, you definitely are not going to agree with some of these. That's fine. You know what I'm saying? We actually love to see your list. I don't think we say that enough anymore. You know what I mean? Because I think we were saying that more as like, we love to see your list, but it's just our thoughts on the underrated games, games that didn't quite reach the acclaim that for whatever reason we feel, just from personal experience with it. I know my first one, my number seven, is for sure. It's just like, that's just, I can understand why people rated it a certain kind of way, but I just feel like it's underrated. Fuck it. I had a ball with it.
It's our personal list. It's our opinions. That's what matters. But we do, as Todd said, we want to hear from you guys. What do you think is an underrated game out there? So do us a favor and send us your list picks. Send
it
to us.
Fuck all that, man. Fuck all that. That's true. You know what I'm saying? But Young Draco, bro. Young Draco. Oh. I went hard because I'm going to try to keep it as real with myself as possible as all time. But Young Draco, my boy Soulja Boy, said he been underrated. I didn't want to talk about this again. I don't want to talk about PP Man too much. I don't want to talk about, you know what I'm saying, this. But I can't help it. It came back And I gotta keep it real with myself, man. I might be coming a flipper flopper in a sense, you know. I might, because he addressed a lot of shit. Like, you know, I went hard a little bit on the idea, like, people would trip. We just had the discussion. You can listen to it in the previous podcast, you know what I'm saying? But like, I couldn't understand why people were tripping on him so hard about the little cheap gaming console when it's relatively similar to other people's stuff. Now, how he came at folks and that whole thing and entering into it, you gotta understand the environment you coming in, and you misrepresent yourself in certain ways. But just sitting down and listening and talking to him over the past couple of interviews, and it's been all over my social media and shit, and the, you know, Drake, and actually him addressing shit out his own mouth, you know what I'm saying? It's one of them things, like, I almost borderline want to support him, but that motherfucker, as far as the video game hit, where his head is at with the shit, like, motherfuckers can look at him a certain kind of way. People talking about he need to go to jail. My whole point was, if you weren't worried about him going to jail for murder cases or shootings or a potential cocaine addiction and all this shit, which is things he addressed in the interview. So it's like, okay, you know what? And he didn't sound halfway. Like, it just sounded like he was coming from a truthful place, regardless of whatever the fuck the man chooses to do on his own personal time. Even breaking down and giving out, like, on the Breakfast Club, giving out, he gave out the fucking system to Charlamagne and all of them. And then he went on another view and he broke down. Now, he said out his own mouth that the 800 games on there are licensed. That's what he says. I don't know whether or not that's true. Yeah. But I know, you know, I'm not going to hate on him. I'm not going to hate on him for trying to essentially do something positive, even though it might not be from the messenger that we would like. I mean, he has taken it too far. I know I went off on a long rant, but it just, that shit has been tickling me all week, like the memes. the memes have been ridiculous. Like, if you ain't seen it, go watch that shit, bro. That shit funny. But he was definitely feeling underrated and hated. So, you know, it's the young Draco edition. Top 7 underrated games of all time.
Man, it cracks me up, dude, too, with, like, Soulja Boy is really working hard to stay relevant. And you know what? He's doing a good job because everybody's talking about it still. That's the thing, man. You got to give him credit. You got to... Somebody said Soulja Boy hairline looks like a graph of his career.
Hey, and he do look like he going through some shit. He does, bro. He look like he going through some shit, man. So, but pray for him. You know what I'm saying? But he just, I don't know, man. But some of that shit, I just got to keep it real, man. I respect where he coming from. You don't have to co-sign on 100% of anybody with this shit. Like, actually listening to him, it's like, oh, okay, all right. You know what, my nigga? That's all right. Do your thing. Go for it. Good luck to you. good luck to you. I ain't mad at you. Fuck it. Nah, if it ain't true, it ain't true. You know, it's going to work out. It's how it's going to work out. But I still feel the same way. Like, I ain't mad at the dude, bro. I do feel. After listening to a little bit more and getting a little bit more information, though, it's just like, I think I said he was the, that's like getting mad at like the slowest person in the class or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's the case. He just might be going through some shit. But what are your thoughts, though, man? What are your thoughts? I know we ain't. Fuck it.
Here's another one real quick. If you say Draco 3 times in the mirror, Soulja Boy will appear with the Tyrone Bigums hat on. This is killing me.
Then he talked about Tiger.
Yeah, I just think, in my personal opinion, I think it's somebody who's not relevant anymore trying to stay relevant.
You know what, though?
It was like Bob. You remember B.O.B. when he came out being a flat earther? Like, that was what, last year, the year before that? You know, he had a new album coming out right before that, and then he came out with the fact that he was a flat earther. And you know what? Uh-oh.
My bad. Go ahead, bro. Now, you B.O.B.?
Yeah. It is. It's a way to try to stay relevant in a world where you're not relevant anymore. And, you know,
this is the thing, bro. When he talking about dollar signs, when he talking about actual net worth, factual that you can look up, not what's necessarily in his bank account, but like actually what his net worth is, understanding that he was a teenager when he created that song and he had full ownership of his property, and to see where he is now. Like, see, if you take the emotions out of everything and strip it down to its base of what's actually kind of happening, like, it's not, I mean, I don't know, man. It's just, I mean, we live in America, bro. Like, it's a capitalistic system. So
yes,
I'm gonna quote him on an example. A big gripe against him is he's charging people an exorbitant price for this whole process or whatever, right? And he was just like, okay, how much do you, and like, he was like, the cheap ass console that he got put out, that if you want to buy that shit, that's on you, right? Or whatever the fuck you want to do. You know what I'm saying? Built in China. He was like, Apple iPhones are built in China. How much you think they charge to make that iPhone in China?
For sure.
How much are they charging in America? So why is nobody mad about that shit? Everybody love their iPhone.
No, I agree with him on that point.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. And then the same people that's upset about the preloaded ROMs on his game on Raspberry Pi, we had that discussion.
Yeah.
So I can't knock him for like what he's doing, trying to stay relevant if he's making them money.
No, I can't knock it. It's just what I think he's doing.
And it's in the gaming industry. It's like, okay, if he trying to crack into that, that might open up opportunities, even though he's not the messenger. And I think it was an unfair comparison to me to make him like Kanye West to an extent. You know what I'm saying? And I think we're talking about this because he has entered the video game world. Like, it's legit. Like, when you're going around at this point, now we got to talk about it again. We got to revisit this again.
For sure.
Right? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's going to be successful, but I know based on what he's showing and what he's saying, like, monetarily and the idea behind it, like, the heart behind it. I mean, because he's talking about trying to include and incorporate other people in his culture as well.
Yeah.
And I think that You see what I'm saying? So if he's speaking that out into existence, now you say that, and then on the flip side, he going back and forth with other motherfuckers tattooed on the face, looking crazy than the motherfucker because I'm old. You know what I'm saying? Whatever else. And you know, who knows where he's coming from. But if you actually listen to him a little bit, it's like, well, damn, bro, you can't. I mean, shit, he just got a business attitude. He got a business mindset with the shit. Whether you like him or not, that's not stopping him from doing it, what he's doing.
Like for me, like, somebody who hasn't thought about Soulja Boy in years and thinking about it now, I'm just like, you know, I mean, I can't knock you for trying what you try. It doesn't affect me, like, personally at all. It's like, if I kind of want to, like, we've talked about this before. I kind of want to buy one of those consoles. I'm not joking. Like, I really kind of want to, just to see not only what it's about, but that thing could be a collector's item down the line. Like, it really could.
Bro, it is just crazy. Like, I have seen some shit. Like, this is when it went too far just for me. And I mean, everybody got their own mindset. When people would be like, if you really think about the reality, like, I've heard it again of them saying, insinuating that what he is doing is illegal, and that's very well possibly true. But it also is also leading into like, well, what if he goes to jail? It's like automatically, it's like this groupthink on some shit that ain't even that damn deep. You know what I'm saying? It's been a government shutdown and people ain't been getting paid. And we worried about Soulja Boy going to jail for some illegal rhymes. Like,
yeah,
what? Who cares? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not that, like, that's totally a sidebar. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, we talking about Soulja Boy right now. But what he talking about with the money side of it, I can't be mad at him, man. The idea of it, it's just not, it's just something that's, I mean, how many black people that's involved in gaming like that, period? Or even trying it.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, too. It's like, we've got, like, there's bigger issues out there. There's a lot going on that's more important than knockoff consoles with possibly copyrighted material. Like, to me, it's not that big of a deal. Like, it also goes back to that whole thing of, if you choose not to engage, you don't have to engage. You don't have to have an opinion about it. You don't have to think about it. You really don't have to. If you're going to get that mad about a guy trying to sell consoles with possibly copyrighted materials on it, then you should be mad about knockoff iPhones and pop stations and that crap they sell at Walgreens. Like, you see those at Walgreens all the time. You see the fake Wii's at Walgreens. I've seen those several hundred times. Like,
just saying, man, I wasn't mad at the Fire Stick.
No.
Jailbreak guy when that shit first started.
No.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that wasn't mad about that shit either. You know what I'm saying? Back before we found out that wasn't proper and people don't do that no more. You know what I'm talking about? Wasn't nobody mad at the Jailbreak, the Fire Stick guy? Shit.
Nobody. Nobody. I'm just saying. But no, it's an interesting world we live in these days where the news, like, depending, I guess it really, like, it's every piece of news feels politicized now, even when you're talking about a guy selling consoles. That's the weird thing about it. Like, it all feels politicized to a certain degree. Like, you'll always get certain side of people being really upset about something and then another side, and you can kind of draw party lines, and I'm just like, it's a console. Like, don't engage if you don't want to. That's
see,
just
the
end.
We talk about it. It's like the loss of nuance. Everybody knows it. You know what I'm saying? It's just the loss of nuance. It's like you can't have a moderate opinion about anything now. Like,
not
it
anymore.
Has to be to the extreme.
Yeah, you got
to
be.
It has to be to the extreme, and even semi-moderate or leans a little bit one way or the other, it automatically gets twisted in the brain. It seems like, yep. I do the same shit. You know what I'm saying? I think we can do the same shit sometimes, where, you know, it just automatically shifts to whatever extreme side it is. It's like, man, come on, bro. It's different layers to the shit.
Man,
it's different layers to the shit.
You are absolutely right. But hopefully Soulja Boy has some underrated games on his console. That's what I want. I want a console full of nothing but underrated games. I found this on Reddit the other day. There was a TV they manufactured only in Japan in 2001 that had a built-in Dreamcast. Now I have to find that. I want one of those televisions. That is amazing to me.
Man, motherfuckers is gonna be like, they started last week. They was talking about bath salts and losing their mind ever since they started talking about this CBD oil tied on here, talking about Ethan Hawke and getting wet and fucking Drake. And it spent 12 minutes talking about motherfucking Soulja Boy. And I know some people, we had a conversation about trigger words. It's like, Soulja Boy is a trigger word now. Like, you know, but fuck it, cuz he's in the video game industry. We'll see. Let's see if he falls on his face or he excels. I don't really give a fuck either way, but we're gonna talk about it because we gotta talk about it a little bit, bro. It was whenever I saw you, because I don't even get the chance to see you as much anymore. I was just like, bro, did you see that shit? Let's talk about it on the show. And that's what I love about the tribe. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, our little niche of people that fuck with us on the show, man. I think most of them are kind of moderate minded though. At the core, man, honestly,
I think most people are pretty moderate minded, and for good reason. I mean, most people have a logic that we like to use, especially because we're gamers. We use logic in a lot of situations. It's just how it goes. You can't.
And I mean,
help
it's not
it.
Like you gotta be in the center all the time either. I don't think there's anything wrong with standing on a hill and dying on a principle, right? We've talked about that. But I mean, just we talk about it, man. It's just which hill are you standing on and dying on? Soulja Boy ain't one of them.
No, for sure.
You know,
but I
a
will.
Lot of people, but see, and a lot of people that's talking. Last thing I'm gonna say about that: a lot of people that's talking shit about him or got upset and wish he was going to jail and all that other kind of shit are happy about the clicks that they get. So that's why they talk about them too. And
yep.
That's another reason why the extremes work. And a lot of time, extreme negative is going to get a lot more attention than anything positive. You always going to get more attention with 200 people getting murdered as opposed to 200 people becoming doctors.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That's just how it goes.
I just compared Soulja Boy to 200 people getting murdered. Damn.
You did. And guess what? It's an apt comparison in Skip the Tutorial Land.
We might have to just cut this whole shit, man. This is not a fun conversation like I thought it was going to be, man. Let's get to the list whenever you're ready. My bad, bro.
No worries. I liked it. I thought it was a good conversation. But yes, our top seven underrated games of all time. It's our top seven underrated games. Todd, like you said earlier, critically or commercially underrated. One of the two. Either one. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, like one of those things where it just wasn't even rated. I didn't even look at all the ratings on some of them. I just know some of these weren't you know, as big as I wanted them to be. That's really what some of these games should have been bigger than I think they reached. But yeah, bro.
I agree, man. And so, Todd, why don't you get us started, man, with your number seven?
I've referenced this game before, man. Star Wars Force Unleashed, to me, is one of those underrated games. Starkiller is one of the coolest damn names, you know, of any kind of Sith trainee.
Love this game.
Fucking think of. And I think I thought about this. We're not going to get into it too much, but didn't you heard the news about EA? I think it's Visceral Games.
Yeah, they shut down their, what was it? Was it open world Star Wars?
It was an open world Star Wars game. You know what I'm saying? And I was thinking about that, and we was talking about this, and I was like, man, Star Wars Force Unleashed would have been a hell of a skeleton to kind of like build off of, like for Spider-Man, how they did with Spider-Man 2.
Sure.
If you did an open world game right. And I just always felt like it's been on another list. I don't even remember what list. But it just, as far as feeling like a Jedi or a Sith, it captured that in a great way. You know what I'm saying? Like when I played Battlefront as a Jedi, like that was cool, but it was something about the action adventure aspects of that game. And I had fun with it. Some of the battles were memorable, and I just don't think it was, I think it was an underrated game. I mean, it's a game I probably could still get on now and have fun with. So that's where I started my list with Star Wars Force Unleashed, the old 08 good old game. Plus I had a beast PS3 playing that bitch on. It was a Raptor. But anyway, yeah.
Man, that's a classic, though, dude. It really is. When people talk about the best Star Wars games, you know, in the community of Star Wars, The Force Unleashed comes out as like, hey, man, this is a classic game. This is a really lot. This is a lot of fun. I think they kind of, in retrospect, they probably destroyed the reputation or what could have been The Force Unleashed with the sequel. The sequel was rushed. It didn't really feel like it had an ending. It wasn't that great of a game. But the first one, man, you talk about some of the abilities to throw people around. That was my favorite part, just picking people up and throwing
them. Yep. just throwing them off a bridge into a TIE fighter or some shit like that that was flying by. It was a really, like, and it, you know, the destructible environments. It just was a good game. It was a fun little game. I mean, I get some of the, you know, critical issues people had with, like, the story. That kind of got a little bit interesting. You know what I'm saying? Some gameplay issues. But to me, the game came together. I mean, maybe I didn't. It was a solid game. It's a game that I still like to reference to this day, clearly.
And it's still worth to go play. If you haven't played it, go. It's on Steam. It's still worth it. It's still fun.
Especially if you're a Star Wars fan and you're just feeling some type of way about hearing EA doing what they do.
Yeah, they're coming into criticism for that license. And there may be talks later of another studio picking up that Star Wars license.
And it's crazy how duality is, though, because I'm counting on EA to do something with NBA Live to make it competitive to kill the Titan that is 2K. I still feel bad about putting it on my list, but I just had to keep it real with myself. It's still a great technical game if you're into sports. It's just the only option. Anyway. The duality, man, the dichotomy is crazy. They kill one company, and when I'm hopeful that they try to save another industry or a portion of the industry. That's, what's your number seven, man?
My number seven, I played way back in the day on the Xbox 360. It's one of the scariest, most violent, best, most fun games I've ever played. That's Condemned Criminal Origins. Condemned Criminal Origins. It's a classic horror first-person survival game with some really creepy elements to it. It really kind of paved the way for what I'll say is... do you remember that? Well, everybody does. Outlast coming out. It paved the way for Outlast. You know, it had some influences from Silence of the Lambs and Seven, which I love both of those movies so much. It had great melee. It's got like this almost feeling of being improvised melee, which I thought was really cool. Like picking up these random weapons to kill these monsters with. You could get stuff to stab or dismember enemies, entry tools, fire axes on rotten doors. You had crowbars you could use on locked safes. Like, it was just a cool concept altogether, and I don't think people, like, embraced it as much as, you know, other games. It also had these crime scene investigations with context, like sensitive buttons, and you could have forensics tools to find and record evidence. It was really cool. Like, it was just... overall, it was a great experience that I don't think enough people gave credit or played. Condemned Criminal Origins, you know, it was critically received pretty well. But, you know, it sold enough to make a sequel, but it's one of those games that's been forgotten to time. You know, and when I say pretty well, it was mixed reviews across the board. Some people loved it. Some people, you know, didn't quite get it. Or, you know, we had Game Revolution who gave it a B+, but it also showed off to me for the Xbox 360, because it was one of the first games I had for the Xbox 360 after Bioshock, and yeah, I followed playing Bioshock with that game, and you know, when you follow Bioshock, that the next game should suffer, but for me, Condemned Criminal Origins did not suffer in quality after playing it against Bioshock. I just had a lot of fun with that one. That is my number seven, Condemned Criminal Origins. It's a great
classic
game.
360 shit.
Love the 360. Todd, what is your number six?
My number six is Just Cause 2.
Boop, boop, boo.
With Rico Rodriguez.
Rico Suave. A
couple of these games on here, man, are going to feel a little bit out of place, but I reference Spider-Man a little bit on every show, it feels like now, but... this one gets me because just the traversal aspect of it. I was looking back, like, what are some of those therapeutic games that gave me that, at like, that feeling open world, you know, just move around and I could just do that and have a good time for like 30 minutes solid and then be cool. But then on the flip side, just the absolute chaos of Viva Levit Revolution. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, you go just, it wasn't even, it's not a game that's about the storyline at all. It's really just, you could run around that whole game just blowing shit up and, you know, grappling hook a jet and coming off of the jet with a fucking bazooka. And that was the first one in the series. Like, Just Cause 1 was it introduced it, but Just Cause 2 took it to another level to me. And I don't think it's just I think it's an underrated series in a lot of ways. I get why it's not you know, as critically acclaimed as other games. It's not like Batman or some shit like that. But I think it's still a little bit underrated. Even playing the latest game, that's a fire ass game, really. Just Cause 3. So, yeah, man. I mean, I don't have a lot on these things, man. This one's coming from the heart. This is about, you know.
Yeah.
I still got Young Drake on my mind. You know what I'm saying? I'm still got Young Drake on my mind. Like, if we forgave Post Malone, man, we got to forgive Young Draco, the entrepreneur, the godfather. That's how I'm feeling. Like, I just feel like I could talk about whatever I want to talk about. Fuck how people feel.
Yes.
So, fuck it. That's my number motherfucking six. Just Cause 2. 2010 classic.
Blast. And I do like where they took Just Cause 2 after coming up with Just Cause 1. Just Cause 1, you had that feeling it was like a more legitimate, you know, storyline, et cetera, you're really trying to. And then Just Cause 2, they're like, make internet GIFs. Like, these are amazing, fun stunts that you can do. I love those games. I remember when Just Cause, the first one, came out back in the day, and I watched the X-Play review. If you're hearing this, X-Play was my shit. I love that show, X-Play, with Morgan Webb and Adam Sessler. Morgan Webb and Adam Sessler, come back to us.
Tiger had a better comeback than me? Tiger? Tiger? Yes. One that let his girl get pregnant by Travis Scott, skeeting a nut in her? Tiger had a better comeback than me?
It's very true. It is. Damn. I love Tiger. I do. It's good music. My number six. Todd, I think you'll appreciate this. Here's what I'll say about my number six. It did spawn an entire series of games. So, you know, say what you will. However, I do feel like this is a forgotten classic from the PS1 era that people don't get enough credit to. And that is the Driver game. Driver. The very first one. Driver. It's a classic to me.
Yeah, man.
One of my favorite things to do in Driver was just to turn on the insanity police chase mode, where the police would just nonstop try to chase you across the map, and they would actually drive off of bridges to try to get you. I played that game like I played Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Just nonstop. It was a blast. It was so much fun. I mean, it spawned a lot of sequels. It got good reviews. But I also see it up, like, it comes up on a lot of lists when people talk about impossible games or really difficult first levels. The test level, apparently, where they're trying to test your skills so you can be the mob's driver as the undercover cop. Still so much fun. I think they lost a lot of people with Driver 3, where they actually got out of the car and they tried to do the GTA thing, because that was the thing to do back in the
day. Yeah, yeah.
That's where a lot of people lost it. But, you know, I still think it was a blast, man. Driver was a blast. I think it got overshadowed by Grand Theft Auto, and for good reason. Don't get me wrong. Like, GTA took it to a different level. And they did a great job with that. But Driver is one of those games I'll forever love.
Now, you bring up the greatest point about that, because I vaguely remember Driver, because GTA, it was so dominant during that time. So
it was everywhere.
Yeah, like, that's the definition of got to be an underrated game. Because, I mean, I'm like, damn, you know what? That was fun. But, I mean, that's one of the issues with any game that's going to be on anybody's underrated list or underrated list. It's also what you were getting put up against at the time. So that's an excellent choice and an excellent point, bro.
Yes, sir. What is your number five?
Young Draco's number five is Crackdown.
Crackdown.
Crackdown from Young Draco.
Yes.
Just because I knew I was going to talk about this a little bit, and I just feel like it was Crackdown, because I needed to get the word crack and down. And Young Draco, I needed to get them together. Let me stop climbing. Now, seriously, though, I think when I had to be honest with myself, because it's got such a stigma behind it now, and everybody is and has been waiting on the release of the latest Crackdown with Terry Crews as the voice, you know what I'm saying? And it's gotten to the point with Xbox exclusives being so, you know, dominated. They were dominated by PS4. There aren't really no more Xbox exclusives per the data. You know what I'm saying? Even though it's some good games that people, you know, are really just super excited about. But the original Crackdown, for it to still be relevant, what year are we in? It's like 12 years later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That all started with the original Crackdown. It's the same thing with Just Cause. It's the traversal therapeutic experience. And that one was one that I could really attest to. Just the way you could hop around the city and train. It was like a cheesy game, and it was definitely repetitive in its own way. But it's all I enjoyed the protagonist, the idea, even though it was a black police officer. The way they did it was kind of cool. The way they had the city was kind of cool. The way you could customize your car and build up certain things and do certain stuff, and the street racing aspects of it, it was kind of fun. And I think it was a bit underrated. I think it was a bit underrated. It's a bit underrated now, though. Maybe not so much at the time, but yeah. Now because of the delay with the latest games and the stigma that's associated with a lot of Xbox 360 exclusives. But that really is a dope exclusive. And if they would have came out with a solid crackdown in a proper time, and I do think it would have helped with game sales, but I mean, or console sales, you know what I'm saying? A little bit more. So, yeah, man, I just had to put it on the list because people say I hate on Xbox all the time or think I hate on Xbox all the time. I'd be really rooting for them. It's just I need them to, you know, do some solid shit.
Man, it's
other than Forza.
You know, it's one of those series, like, I think it definitely deserves a place on this list because Crackdown is one of those series that never captured me personally, and I know a lot of people who really love that series who've been waiting for Crackdown 3 for years. And I also know a lot of people, and I think it deserves a place on this list because there's a lot of people when the Crackdown 3 trailer came out who were like, eh, it was a lot of mad reaction to it.
You know? And a lot of that has to do with Crackdown 2, though.
Yeah, that's also true. That's also true. You know, some of these can be affected. The originals, like we've talked about, the original reputations can be tainted by the sequels. Duke Nukem 3D, I'm just talking to you about Duke Nukem Forever. Come on. Duke Nukem Forever kind of ruined Duke Nukem Forever. No pun intended. Was that a pun? Or was that just me double? Who knows? I don't care. I'm done making wordplay.
My friend is dying, man. So if anybody's questioning anything, my friend passed out last night. I was just talking about him last night. Okay. He passed out. They found him. We thought he had a stroke. He has diabetes and stage 4 cancer. And I've been up since late.
Yeah. It's a rough time, man.
Shout out to my nigga, man. Shout out to my nigga. Nah, it's all good, though. I just had to say that real quick. Because he underrated. And he's underdog right now.
That's CBD right. Oil.
All the good shit. Enjoy people while they're here. Give them their flowers while they're here. Random shit like skip the tutorial do. Anyway, shout out Big Willie and Venom and shit. Fuck it. All right, my bad. Where were we? Young Draco?
Yes, Young Draco's number. I'm on my number 5. My number 5. It's... Y'all just roll with us. Just roll with it. That's this week. Just leave us alone. Download and enjoy.
I'm so glad we're back on Pi-B.
Me too. Me too. My number 5, though, is Spec Ops The Line from Take-Two. Spec Ops The Line from Take-Two. It was a commercial failure. It really was. This game did not sell nearly what they thought it was going to sell. It's by far one of the best stories in a video game I've ever played through. Yeah, it takes a lot and apes a lot from Heart of Darkness and Apocalypse Now, but it's got such a powerful emotion to it. It's probably, I'll say this, it's probably my favorite war game of all time. You know, a game that takes place in a wartime environment. The Spec Ops The Line is amazing. It's really kind of a stunning success what they did with this story. The gameplay itself is fun. I mean, it's a blast to go through that. And then when you get to the end and find out what's truly going on, it's a shot in the gut moment, if you will. It really is just a shot in the gut. But it is by far one of my favorite like games of the last few years. Came out in 2012. It's still on Steam. It's on sale all the time. I'm telling you, this is one of those games. It's built up of cult following for a reason. This is, when you talk about storytelling in a video game, like we've talked about for 2018 with God of War and Spider-Man and Red Dead, like Spec Ops The Line should have gotten the credit it deserved when it came out. But this is by far one of my favorites.
No, absolutely, man. That's an excellent. I knew this was going to be on your list. Like I put for a, sure. I knew it was. I don't know how long a conversation we had about that game. And just the story and the twist that you still don't want to, after all this time, you still don't want to spoil it, right?
No,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't.
That's a testament, and that's a testament of an underrated kind of classic game. That's a fun choice, sir. Good idea. Good choice.
It definitely is a excellent game. Todd, what is your number 4?
All right, time to stop fucking around. We get into the meat and potatoes. Dante's Inferno.
Meat and potatoes.
For sure.
Man, I love Dante's Inferno.
Because it's a God of War clone, right? But I mean, it had digital titties, even though they were, you know what I'm saying, hellish digital titties. They were digital titties.
That is true.
Babies with razor blades. And I've referenced this. We've talked about this before. Like, one of my favorite books ever is Faust. And anything which is a good read. If you haven't read it, it's a good read.
It's also a very good silent movie from the 20s.
Didn't know that. Yes. See, boy, you got them facts.
I own it on DVD. No, I own it on Blu-ray. I'll let you borrow it sometime.
What are you doing with these 1920s movies nowadays, man?
I'm watching them, Todd.
It's just, you know, it's the classic story of saving the damsel in distress, in a sense, but it's just in a hellish religious kind of based context that I found interesting. It was real gory and just the different stages of hell and the graphic design. And it was just, and I don't know, it just stuck with me. But I definitely know it didn't make as good of an impression as it could have if it wasn't such a clone of God of War. You know what I'm saying? But it still does, and I believe forever will stand out as an underrated game due to that. I think if it would have just, I can't separate the two. I think that's why it's so underrated. I think they could have came out with a couple of more games with that one and tried to make that universe. I think it would have been real fire.
But, man, I loved that game back in the day. You know, I'm glad you put that on your list because I forgot about it. And we've talked about it before on this show. And I completely forgot.
Visceral Games. Visceral, man. EA killed them. Didn't they close Visceral down all the way?
They did, yeah.
Shout out to them again, man. Dante's Inferno. Classic game, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Man, it's a classic. It's a real classic.
Another 2010 game, man. That's weird.
That was a good time, man. Like, people don't talk about that time frame enough. Between 2009 and, I'd say, 2013, there's a classic load of games that came out in that era. Mm-hmm. There really were just a classic number of games that. What was it? What was the zombie game in the mall? Dead Rising.
Yes.
That game came out. Like, that was impressive to me. With the hordes of zombies and stuff that you had to deal with. That game doesn't get enough credit because we've had so many of them now that have tried to either recreate that or do that again. And zombies have become kind of populated. They're oversaturated with The Walking Dead and all that. But when that game came out and I played it, being a huge fan of Dawn of the Dead and the Dead series from George Romero, like, that really captured for me. And then when you could put on, like, the Capcom stuff, like the Mega Man suit, like, and hit them with the guitar and it, like, make the noise, like, or when you could put on the clown suit and, like, hit them with the rubber mallets.
See, this is why I shouldn't have said what I said earlier, but then you say something like, what you resonate to, and putting on a clown suit and hitting them with rubber mallets.
It's what I do for a living.
I know you do that in Walmart parking lot sometimes. My bad.
I do.
Mark these times. We've been doing pretty good.
That was a good one.
Hey, man, I want to tell you, I appreciate y'all. I know you've been holding it down because I know you secretly hate Soulja Boy, so you've been just dealing with the young Draco real well.
I don't. I listened to him back in the day. I don't hate him.
You used to crank that?
I did. Soulja Boy, tell him the dance flow's silly, the lady's gonna feel me, man. I used to listen to that all the time. That was back in the gap.
My man, bro. Let's, all right, what's man, what's your number four, fool?
My number four, classic game, just beat it recently, came out for PS2, PC, Xbox, GameCube. Follows Jade, an investigative reporter. Yes, investigative reporter and martial artist. It's called Beyond Good and Evil. It's an amazing experience. It's a puzzle platforming action with stealth based stuff going on. Man, it's so good. It is such a replaying it this year reminded me how much I love that game. Just how, you know what, we talk about this, but puzzle platformers and RPGs, like, are always the two games I'll love to play the most. Banjo-Kazooie, the first Banjo-Kazooie, Super Mario, like, all of them, like, they're just so good. They're just, yeah. And Beyond Good and Evil doesn't get enough credit for what it did. It's a classic game. It's about 12 to 13 hours long. Plays quick. If you get a chance to play Beyond Good and Evil, I highly recommend it before the sequel comes out. Because that sequel is around the corner. I'm just saying. It's around the corner. So it's coming out. Just be on the lookout. All right. That was my number four.
Nah, man, I knew that was going to be, that's another good choice. I knew that was going to be on your list, man. I knew that was going to be on your list. I know you are the puzzle platformer guy.
I'm around man. The corner with my rubber mallet.
and some cough drops.
And some cough drops.
Because I'm on Brooklyn.
You want some cough drops?
What the fuck do we do? We do this every week, bro.
I know, but we love it. We love it. Hey, people riding with us, thank you so much for sticking it out because we're on another level real. This week. Just I mean, enjoy.
Hey, man. Anybody listening, we appreciate it.
We
man.
Got a lot of stress in our lives that we take out on the microphone, okay? That's what we do. I use this microphone as a tool. Let me enjoy it. I played Battlefield 5 last night with Big Willie. That was a good stress reliever.
Cause that whole sentence.
Seriously though, I do want to take a moment. I would like to take a moment to just like thank our audience, man, for just like being there, man. Like you don't understand how much it really means to us. At the end of the day, it really does mean worlds beyond. Like the friends that we've made through this show. Like if nothing else, that means a whole hell of a lot to me. You know, a community built around two guys just cutting up on microphones, talking about video games. I love it. I really do.
And life and the part that yes. y'all ride with the foolish, you know, hold on.
Yeah, no worries. All right, Todd, what is your number three?
Number three is Bully by Rockstar.
Classic.
This game, I mean, if you know Rockstar, you know what time it is with the quality of their games. Yeah. We just referenced GTA with the comparison with Driver and just the level of what they do with open world games. And just, you know, it's not just Cause level of chaos, but it's GTA almost. It could almost be equivalent in its own way of just the complete debauchery yes. that goes on and choices and everything. And in the Red Dead Redemption and these types of games, and Bully was that game, but just on it was such an intelligent way to make a game. It's no blood in it like that. It's not gory. You're not going to be throwing prostitutes out of a helicopter. It's not anything extreme. You know what I'm saying? But it's just such a good, solid game. It's so much fun. And to take that content to just for you to be a bully in school and make that fun on different levels, I think that's just genius in a lot of ways. It's a great game. I think it's underrated once again, just when you compare it to other games. But I also believe kind of it's like a cult classic. It's one of those games. If I didn't put it on my underrated list, I'd feel like a fraud. So you know, it's still a game that if you hadn't played it, man, you can go check it out. It'd be a lot of fun, and you'll look at dodgeball differently, a few other little things. Yeah, man, that's my number three, Bully.
Man, that's a classic right there. Good choice. It's on the PS4 market store, the PlayStation store on the PS4. My number three, launched on the GameCube, recently remade for the 3DS. It's the best Mario game, in my opinion, ever. That's controversial, I know, but it's Luigi's Mansion. It's only got Mario in there as a background character. Look, man, if you know I'm a horror fan, you know I like ghosts and creepy things and weird stuff. I got a book right here that I just bought called Spooky Basement. Spooky Basement by Clay Astroman.
Oh, shit.
It's like a Goosebumps book written for adults, and I'm enjoying it.
Spooky Basement?
Spooky Basement. Spooky Basement. It's a classic.
Do you listen to Michael Jackson while you read that book?
I do. I do. How did you know? Later era Michael Jackson as well. But no, Luigi's Mansion's a great game. It's got great mechanics to it. It's got great functionality. It's a great, amazing soundtrack. Absolutely amazing soundtrack. Go back to our Halloween episode to hear more about it from the top five of Death Guys. That was a lot of fun. They talked about Luigi's Mansion. But Luigi, he doesn't get enough credit as a character. He's always a sideline character, but that's a fantastic game. The 3DS redo is also amazing in its own right. So was the sequel they put out on 3DS. That was a good one. But yeah, Luigi's Mansion, that's my number three. Todd, what's your number two?
My number two is, and I'll probably not pronounce this correctly, Azura's Wrath.
Azura's Wrath! Is that the one where you punch the moon?
Man, it's so fucking over the top.
Yes,
Azura's Wrath. Azura's Wrath, Azura's Wrath is so underrated in my opinion. Azura's Wrath makes me upset that PlayStation doesn't have a better, like, any backwards compatibility so I could play Azura's Wrath whenever I want. Like, I do love Games Pass and the idea of what Xbox does with that when it comes to, this is like the first game that comes to mind where I'm like, if I want to go back, I really wish I could play some Azura's Wrath. There's not many games that I would be able to compare to Azura's Wrath. I think the new Devil May Cry 5 might have some elements of Azura's Wrath that I like as far as just the size of the characters. But it's just, like you said, man, punch the moon. And you fight such grand enemies. Like, they're so large and crazy, but you are just overpowered. You're so OP with your six arms. And oh, my God. It's just crazy. It's fucking insane. And I just think it's an underrated game. If you get a chance to fuck with it, just... It's extremely over the top. It's so over the top it could almost be borderline cheesy, but I don't know. It plays the strings of thine heart. I love me some Azura's Wrath, man. That's the only reason. See, I tried out PlayStation Now simply so I could play Azura's Wrath. Like that free little time, I was like, oh, I gotta do it just for this. That and Shadow of Colossus. So yeah, man, Azura's Wrath, bro. Like, just go look it up. Like, some of these I don't even, you know. Some of these to kind of spark it. Like, if you don't know about Azura's Wrath, just go check that crazy foolishness out. Go watch some gameplay at least. I rarely would ever suggest that. I would say, hey, man, play the fucking game, experience the game. But this is a game where I would say, just so you can kind of have a sense of what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, where it's best to see it. Pictures are better in this instance. So, yeah, man, that's my number two, Azura's Wrath.
Fantastic choice. Punching the moon down on top of people. I love that game. It's
man,
insane.
Just, and then, flying around in space, avoiding it. You know what I'm saying? It's just insane, bro. Like, I don't, that one, just check it the fuck out.
It's crazy.
Azura's Wrath. Yeah, and I like, why has not another, like, are there any other games? You played Azura's Wrath.
Yes.
Are there any other games that you would compare, like, anything in the future that you would see that's anything like that?
Nothing like that, like, game, dude. That game's like an exploitative film on crack in a video game. Like, it's just a crazy mashup of things that I love. It's hard to put to words, man. That's what makes it so good. It's like,
They should come out with the sequel, Young Draco's Wrath.
Yes. Yes. They really should. Young Draco's Wrath. Maybe that's the episode title. Maybe that's what we go with. Young Draco's Wrath.
That's it.
I like them.
That's it. What's your number two, though, bro?
Man, my number two is a classic RPG, in my opinion, from the PS1 era. A lot of people criticized it for being a rip of Final Fantasy VII when it came out, but I love this game to this day, and that is Legend of Dragoon. Legend of Dragoon. It's become a cult classic since. You know, and I get it, but it was also developed by SCE, so, you know, we had that development back in the day. And people talked a lot about how it was just ripping off Final Fantasy VII. And I understand why people say that, but it had its own style. It definitely had its own interesting music. It had one of my favorite mechanics within the game itself, was not just being able to turn into the dragoon, use your special ability, but you also could combo when you hit people. You could combo in a turn-based RPG. That provides a very unique function to it. And that's not to say they didn't have that similar system back in the day. Like, Final Fantasy VI had something kind of like that. Not really, but this was very interesting. It was a great game, played great. I still have my copy of it all these years later. I didn't keep a lot of PS1 games but I kept that one. I wish I would have kept the other ones that I had as well back in the day. But I'm glad I kept Legend of Dragoon. It's a classic game. It's a long game. It's a lot of fun. It follows that classic JRPG style. But man, is it worth playing today. But that's my number two, Legend of Dragoon.
Dope choice, sir. Now, I am not for sure about this, but I have a feeling, because we didn't discuss this, but I think we got the same number one.
I think you may be surprised.
Really?
Yes. I think you may be surprised.
All right, never mind then. All right, let's keep it pushing then. You ready for the number one?
I am.
Titanfall 2, easy.
Man, I wish I would have picked that game.
Titanfall 2.
We talked about that.
In my opinion, the most underrated game of underrated games.
You won't be surprised by my number one, but yes, go on Titanfall 2.
Yes, definitely. Twos. Definitely. Yeah. I thought you would have been on the same page with the Titanfall 2, but I'm so glad to hear that it's not the case. Now I have suspense. It's killing me. But yeah, buy it if you haven't played it. It's not a long
game.
It's
$8.
Yeah, seriously. The campaign isn't long. You know, it's not it's not overbearing, but I did enjoy the story. And I mean, I love the idea of mech games. You know what I'm saying? I never really played like the perfect Gundam game for me. I never really was able to find a game where I got that visceral feel, if you will. But Titanfall 2 gave that to me, just between the, you know, human gameplay with the wall jumping and you know, the gun mechanics were good. Everything was good with that. And the actual mech itself, and then the dynamics between the two and the story that they built around it, and just, it was a lot of fun. And even the multiplayer had so much hope in it. Like, that was like a fun multiplayer experience. I think it just completely got overshadowed by Call of Duty and just the release date and when it came out. It was a game that just was completely overlooked. I know some issues that with Titanfall 3, but I really look forward to that game. And that was another game I didn't get a chance. It was a late, I think it was a later release for PlayStation 4. I think it came out on Xbox first.
Yeah.
It was an Xbox exclusive that was solid. You know what I'm saying? So it was something I always got a curiosity about. I never got a chance to play the original Titanfall, but definitely Titanfall 2 is one of the most underrated games out there, in my humble opinion.
I 100% agree. I love that campaign so much. That has got, it's $8. Buy it. It's $8. Just do it. Buy it. It's worth every penny. Like, it was so much fun. I never even played the multiplayer. I only ever played the campaign. And I had a blast with it. I definitely
Wasn't that a cool ending?
Yeah, dude.
Or just a fun ending. It was just fun.
It was fun. It was fun.
Not the most challenging game in the world, but definitely underrated, man. I really enjoyed that game. They really went for the gusto. But the suspense is killing me, sir. Drum roll. What's your number one?
My number one, we've talked about before. I believe this is by far one of the most underrated RPGs in the modern era. It's Final Fantasy 15. Final Fantasy 15. This game got some flack when it came out. People got upset because they had this kind of open world first half of the game where you could kind of go back and forth, do whatever you want. It had an exploitative XP system. Yes, you could become real OP real fast, as was I. But I will say this. If you make it through...
OP, you know me.
If you make it through the first half of that game, it pays off in spades for the last half of that game. It's ridiculous how good that is. It's got one of my favorite mechanics and spoilers to a game that's been out for 3 years. But throughout the entire open world experience, you're going through playing these different missions, fighting these different creatures, retrieving this different stuff. You're with your buddies. You're with your three friends. And you're taking pictures together. You're doing selfies. You're capturing the environment. You're having dialogue between each other. You're driving around in your awesome car. You're just doing your thing. And at the very end of the game, like, they have this great moment where you get separated and come back. Some time has passed. And when you meet up with your friends again and you finally have a plan of what you're going to do, it's one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. And when the credits roll and you see the pictures that you take with your friends and they're playing Florence and the Machine's cover of Stand By Me. Just by far one of the best games. I had so much fun playing that. Like, it makes me want to play it again, talking about it. It makes me want to go back and play it all over again because of how much fun I had with it. And just
I can super dig it. I can super dig it. Beautiful. And you know that's not my area of expertise at all, man. But like my Forza 4 brother Chase was talking about that specific game the other day, man. And I thought about you. So you definitely surprised me with this one. That's a good choice. That makes me want to fuck around. This underrated list makes me want to fuck around with it. This is another one where I'm really looking forward to what other people's lists are, so we could just share some information and be like, oh man, you know, I can't wait to hear what like all the games that we missed. But this is such a broad scale.
Absolutely. Do you have any also runs?
It's pretty. Resident Evil 5, Okami.
Okami, yeah. Okami.
Midnight Club, Los Angeles. In comparison to Dub Edition, No More Heroes. Simpson games in general.
Hit and Run. Simpson's Hit and Run was a classic.
Shit. Red Dead Redemption, the Undead Nightmare. I still think it's a little underrated as an overall game. Mm-hmm. Gun. Maybe one more. I feel like there's one more that's just off the top of my. It's Ratchet and Clank game with Insomniac.
Oh Mafia yeah. 2. Oh, the Ratchet and Clank PS4 game was great.
Yeah, yeah. And, that's about it, man. That's pretty much all I got, bro.
Yeah, I got Alice Madness Returns, Blood, classic FPS from back in the day, one of my favorites. The World Ends with You. El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron. That's a great one right there.
Alice in Madness, that shit was crazy though.
That yeah, was nuts, right?
That's a nuts game.
That's
bro.
A crazy game. Yeah. Blue Dragon, classic RPG from back in the day. Super.
I didn't know you liked to get wet.
Only way to do it. Ace Attorney games, I feel, are kind of cult like, and I really like those Ace Attorney games. They're a lot of fun. Deadly Premonition, one of the weirdest games that I've ever played. Eternal Sonata, classic. Suikoden is more of the, like, it's a series of hardcore games for the RPG fans, but I really like those games. Space Marine, Warhammer 40K Space Marine. I've talked about playing that
great
on
choice.
PS3. Fantastic.
Great
game.
Choice. Yeah. Very that's overlooked. A super underrated game, man. Yeah. Seriously underrated. Yeah.
That's a great game right there. But that's my also runs. And let us know. Let us know what your underrated games are. We want to know. You can hit us up at skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com, facebook.com/skipthetutorialpod, Twitter @STT_pod, Instagram @skipthetutorialpod. Let us know what your thoughts are. Please do it. Just do it, man. Until next time, though.
Drake, the nigga that got bodied by Pusha T, the nigga that hiding his kid from the world, but his world wouldn't hide from the kid. Yeah. Bobby Graham in the wheelchair, Drake.
Yes,
Drake.
Y'all niggas better stop playing with me.
But until the next time, as we always say in the Draco way, stay humble.
Stay humble.